partly in different shiurim I heard from him, and I'll put it all together. It's not that Rabbi Slavechik said the whole thing the way I'm going to say it, but I'll put it's almost everything I said is from the Rav. And the pasuk Ve'ele told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram alidis Yitzchak. So the obvious question is, why did Torah repeat? It just seems terribly redundant. Ve'ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, so Avraham alidit Yitzchak, why does it have to be repeated? One of the explanations given by Mefarshim is to contrast Yishmael to Yitzchak. Because a few psukim before that, it's one of the psukim that we don't remember so well because it's not, it's at the end of the parasha. We only know the beginning of the parasha, right? We never get to the end. So at the end of last week's parasha, it says, this is the story of Yishmael that Hagar gave birth to. You see, you hear the contrast? This is Yishmael, son of Avram. His mother was Hagar. And this is the son of Yitzchak. This is the son of Avram. Avram was the father. Who was the main influence in this child? Eile told us Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram alid is Yitzchak. Eile told us Yishmael ben Avram. Asher yolda Hagar mitzvahs. She's the influence. When I talk about this, some children are influenced by their father and some are influenced by their mother. When Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother passed away in 1967, I was at the funeral. And Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik spoke very long time. Very long. And he was really carrying on. How could it be? My mother died. She's, you know, and she was only 90-something years old, you know. And he was really, really... it was a very moving hesped, very emotional. And then afterwards, the Rav got up to speak. And I don't know, you know, if I speak to you now, I don't think it's so bad to say, but at the funeral, I felt it was a little strange. The Rav got up and said, you know, Reb Aaron spoke first, and he spoke longer than I'm going to speak, and that's appropriate. Because Reb Aaron was much more close to his mother, I was much more close to my father. The Rav was brought up by his father. Reb Aaron was brought up by his mother. It's a very interesting difference that some people are brought up one way, some people brought up another. So this is the simplest pshat. Yitzchak was the son of Avram, whereas Yishmael was the son of Hagar. That's the way one of the Mefarshim Chumash says this pshat. I think it's very simple. But I'd like to discuss something else. Now I said I'm going to discuss a halachic topic, but I'm starting from left field. And then I'll get back to it. There's a din that when you make a neder, sounds strange, right? Well, why am I talking about nedarim? Person makes a neder. So let's say I want to aser my phone on me. So I can say, this phone is aser to me. That's a neder. But there's a concept in nedarim called hatspasa or hatfasa. Does anybody know what hatfasa is? Only one person? Hatfasa is if I say, this is like that. That's all I have to do. And that, if that's usher, then this is usher. That's called hatfasa. Some people think the original neder had to be done that way. In order to make a neder, that's what you had to do. You had to attach a neder to something. What's the question if that's the original neder? How'd you get the first one? So the Ran asked this question, and the Ran says the original neder was karban. The original neder that you made was a karban. A karban doesn't need hatfasa. This is kodesh. That's fine. And from now on, every neder is compared to hatfasa. That's what it says in the Ran in Shavuos. That's what the Ran says. So a neder requires hatfasa. But now there's a trick. Can I say this is my phone? Can I say it's like, let's say I said yesterday that my cane is usher. Let's say I said that. I wouldn't do that because I couldn't get out of here. But let's say I did say this cane is usher, and then I would say this is like the cane, that would work, right? What happens if I have a piece of chazer, and I say this is like chazer? Would it work? No. Because there's no correlation. I can't say that this is like chazer because I can't make anything like chazer. God made chazer usher, and I'm making this usher. This can only work with something that I made usher, right? That's called neder bedavar ha-mutar v'lo bedavar ha-asr. I can make hatfasa in something that was davar ha-nadur, it was mutar, and I made it asr, but not with davar ha-asr of the Torah. Got it? Okay. many times in this class, meaning this room where I've been giving chugim for a few years, I've said the following idea, that everything that's kadosh in this world is kadosh because man made it kadosh. It's not that God could not make things kadosh. I'm talking about things, objects, what we call in your language, heftzas. Every heftza, everything that's usser, is usser because I made it usser. I've been saying this for years. I'm sure a few people probably remember my saying this a number of times. A few weeks ago? Oh, I don't remember saying it a few weeks ago. But I do know I said it many times. In the book of Rabbi Lichtenstein and Rabbi Sabato, this is written in the book. I don't remember where it is. I read the book on Shabbos, one Shabbos, and I forgot, I couldn't write it down. So I don't remember where it's in, but it's in the book. When you come across it, when you read the book, remind me where it is. I don't remember. But Rabbi Lichtenstein wrote this, Rabbi Soloveitchik discussed this. Things in this world are usher because man made them usher. So occasionally a guy raises his hand and says, how could you say that? What about Shabbos? Good question. It's not a good question, really. But why do at first does it sound like a good question? Because I talked about heftzas. I talked about things. Shabbos is not a thing. Shabbos is a date, a time. So it's not really a question about me, but I'm going to answer the question anyway. The other question that very few people ask me, is there anything in this world that you can see that I'm wrong? Like, how do tefillin become tefillin? A sofer wrote them with the concept of making kadosh. How did a sefer Torah become a sefer kadosh? Again, the same thing. How does Eretz Yisrael become kadosh? We talked about this once. Who made Eretz Yisrael kadosh? Yoshua or Ezra. But if not for them, Eretz Yisrael would not have what we call halachic kedusha. It's a special place. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. But it's not, no halachic kedusha. Kedusha is man-made. So very few people have asked me a question because there's one example they could ask me. Anybody? It's a hard question. What about Bukhar? A child, I'm talking about a Bekarcha v'tzoncha. A Bakar v'tzon. A person that has a Bukhar. So it's Kadosh, no? It's Kadosh Merechem. So that is Kadosh. So it's a good question he would ask. Does anybody have an answer for me? Well, you see, you guys don't trust me. See, I'm probably wrong. What's the answer? Who's a Balkriya here? All you have to do is be a little bit of Balkriya. In America, in Chutzlaritz, you read this parsha a number of times. In Eretz Yisrael, you only read it once a year. That's a good trick. Where is it? What would that be? Correct. Go and call a Bukhar. Asher. Yivaleid. Bivkarcha. V'tzancha zachar. Tagdish l'Hashem alokecha. What does it mean? Tagdish l'Hashem alokecha. Translates it tagdish in Hebrew.
You should sanctify it.
You sanctify it. You declare it's kadosh. Now what problem is? It's kadosh merechem. So what do you mean if it's kadosh merechem? So what do you mean, Takdish? It is Kadosh. So I go, it's Kadosh. Like, Lahavdil, a billion of David. I say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. Did I do anything different to Baga? Is he more Kadosh or less Kadosh because I said those words? No, I didn't do anything. So you're going to say, that's what it means. I said the Bukhar is Kadosh, like, Lahavdil, I said a Kadosh Baruch is Kadosh. That can't be, because that would not fit in with the word Takdish. So there's a controversy in the Gemara. I'm sorry, there's a controversy in the Gemara. About this. What happens if a person's matfis v'bchor? A person said atfasa zeh kazeh, like a b'chor. So the Gemara has a distinction I'm not going to go into because it's already late. But the Gemara has a distinction by saying that if you do it at the right time, that it works. It's called hatfasa. It's good hatfasa. Why? Nihi de kadosh merecha mitzvah l'akdisha. Even though it's true, it's kadosh merecha, but still it's a mitzvah l'akdisha. So what does it mean, mitzvah l'akdisha? To say kadosh kadosh? The answer is you transform the concept of kedusha. Normal things are born without kedusha. Normal things in this world do not have kedusha. And I makdish them. I makdish chulin. Here, there's a Kedusha that's imposed by the Torah. That's true. I told you before, God could impose Kedusha, God anything can be Kaddish, God could do whatever he wants. But God said, even a Bechor, which is Kaddish Merechim, I want you to transform the nature of the Kedusha from a Kedusha that is imposed by the Torah to a Kedusha that is imposed by mankind. And when you say it's Kaddish, what you're doing is, in effect, changing the concept or adding to the concept, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to go into it. It's a little duck. The little tightrope has to be walked. It's like, do I change it or do I add to it? But I can make this into a Kaddish. It becomes a Kaddish, in my words, through Hafla. There could be Kaddish imposed by the Torah, it could be Kedusha imposed by Hafla, and the Torah told me to do that. And at the end of the day, what is it? At least it's enough Kaddish for Hafla that you can use it for Nedarim. I'll give you another example, and that's why I said that's more of a halachic topic without one specific thing, but halachic topic. You make Kiddush on Shabbos. Why do you make Kiddush? What's the purpose of making Kiddush? So some people think that the purpose of Kiddush is to bracket Shabbos off from the rest of the week. Right? You bracket Shabbos in the beginning, end of the week, end of Shabbos. People think that's the opinion of the Rambam. Why do they think that's the opinion of the Rambam? Anybody?
Does he hold that Zachros Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh is fulfilled by Kiddush?
I didn't hear what you said at the end.
Is he the one that holds Zachros Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh is fulfilled by Kiddush?
Everybody holds that. Anybody? The Rambam happens to hold, one of the few Rishonim hold, that Havdalah is Daraisa. How do you know Havdalah is Daraisa according to Rambam? Zachros Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh. Ah, so that makes a lot of sense. Zachar Siyama Shabbos Lekacho, you bracket Shabbos off. If, according to Tosis, many Rishonim Havdalah is the Rabbanah. So you can't say that the idea is to bracket, because brackets would be on both sides. So according to Tosis, people think we have to understand the nature of Kiddush differently than we would according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, it's separating Shabbos from the rest of the week. But I think that's not true either. I think that according to other Rishonim, what does Zachar Siyama Shabbos Lekacho mean? Again, is Shabbos Kaddish automatically? That's what I said. Some people asked me. You didn't ask me today, but a lot of people have asked me in the past. I say nothing in this world, no thing in the world is Kaddish unless God makes it Kaddish. And of course, Yantiv is like that, right? If no Jew would exist in the world, when is Shavuos? It just doesn't happen. When is Rosh Chodesh? Doesn't happen. So unless people are Mekaddish. So we're Mekaddish, but Shabbos, you would say, oh, that's not true. God made Shabbos Kaddish, right? If there would be no Jew in the world, when is Shabbos? In 2 days, it's Shabbos. I don't care if anybody knows about it. Nobody knows about it. It's Shabbos. What difference does it make? I'm not interested in what difference it makes. It's Shabbos. So how do I say that everything in the world is man-made Kaddish? The answer, of course, I said, the question doesn't bother me because I talked about things and not dates. But the truth is, I'm going to talk about dates also. Again, all you have to know is translate the words and understand a little bit of Hebrew grammar. Zachar et yom ha-shabbat l'kaddisho. There's a dagesh chazak in the dalet. Look it up. Zachar et yom ha-shabbat l'kaddisho. Say l'kaddisho in two words in Hebrew. L'kaddisho to doesn't mean to say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. It's L'Kaddish. I'm Mekaddish Shabbos. When a Jew makes Kiddush on Friday night, he's Mekaddish Shabbos. But it is Kaddish. So what's the answer? You're transforming the concept of Kedusha, of Shabbos, from a God-made Kedusha to a man-made Kedusha. And that's a mitzvah of the Torah. Again, you change, you add, lo manyenuti. But it becomes the Kedusha of Shabbos is man-made at the end. At least it's partly man-made. I'm Mekadesh Shabbos. That's why even according to Rambam, Kiddush and Havdalah are different. Because nobody says that I'm going to be changing the nature of the week. That I can't say. I can say I can change the nature of Shabbos and make Shabbos and Kaddush. Now, with that introduction, what was the introduction? That when you have something that's Kaddush in this world, something exists in the world, there might be two halachas to that. One, man-made, God-made, and one man-made. You can transform A to B. That was the two examples I brought you. I brought an example of Bechor, an example of Shabbos. Now let's go back to the pasuk. Ve'ele told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram ha'olidus Yitzchak. What does it mean to be a father? What's the definition of fatherhood in halacha? The answer is simple. There are two halachas to be a father. One halacha is to give birth to a child. If you are the father of the child, you are mekayim a mitzvah of pru urvo. True. Well, how many children? I don't care right now. But you have to have children, and you're mekayim pru urvo when you have children. But there's another halacha. What's the other halacha? Kol ha-melamed es ben chaveru Torah ki'ilu yilada. If I teach somebody Torah, it's as if I gave birth to him. I've explained this concept many times. I've explained to them my understanding of what it means for me as a teacher who's been teaching for so many years to try to relate to my students and my children. V'shinantam levanecha, Rashi says, eilu atalmidim. Rashi, chumash, v'shinantam levanecha atalmidim. One time, I was teaching a class, there was a young lady in the class who I taught were women, and there's a very, very close to our family. She used to come to our house and stay with us a lot, eat in our house a lot. So, and she really liked the shiur when I was explaining the relationship of Rebbe to Talmidim, and she walked over to me right after class and she said, "That was a great shiur, Dad. I need $5. I'm going to need some money for pizza." So I explained to her, you know, exactly what it means, v'shinantam levanecha elu atalmidim. It's, you know, the chalzot, it's not the same as your own children, but how do you have to relate to the students? But being a father is not just physical, it's spiritual. So which one was Avram? Avram was a physical father or a spiritual father? Can you have one person being a physical father and another person being a spiritual father? Can you have one person being a physical father and not a spiritual father? Can you have a person who's a spiritual father but not a physical father? All the above is true. Which one was Avram? Ve'ele toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram holid is Yitzchak. It's not just physical. That was the first part of the pasuk. Yeah, Yitzchak is the son of Avram. Avram holid is Yitzchak. Avram was the spiritual father of Yitzchak. This is what I heard from the Rav on Tuesday night once in Moria. I added a little bit of extra halacha part that he didn't say. And now I'm going to go to the part of the parsha, which is the same thing I've heard from the Rav on a different occasion. And I'm going to explain it as follows. There's a Rashi in Chumash. I know that I really want you to get upstairs on time. I'll try to finish on time that you can have a few minutes to get upstairs. There's a Rashi in Chumash that everybody knows. But this week's parsha, if you don't know it, please make sure you learn Chumash and Rashi. On the pasuk, Rashi says that he asked the question, why is this repetitious? And Rashi says that the Leitzane Hador, how do you say a Leitz in Hebrew, in English? A mocker, a joker, a person who scoffs.
Scoffer. Cynic.
Cynic. So they said, Avimelech Nisabra Sarah. They said that Avimelech impregnated Sarah. And Kadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle. Rashi says in Chumash that Kadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle that Yitzchak looked very much like Avram. And therefore, that shut up the Leitzanim. Right? You remember the Rashi? If not, you got it straight? Okay. In order to say a good Devar Torah, you do not have to ask any questions. You can just say Pshat. But in this world today, everybody thinks you have to ask questions. You know, it's funny. Nobody will say Devar Torah unless they have a question. Just say Pshat without a question. The Rav used to say Shir in Gemara. The first year I was in the Shir, the Rav used to say Pshat in Gemara. And I don't know why, but Rav Schechter was very friendly with me from the first day I met him. I don't know why. One day he told me why. But I sat in back of him. And he, very often, the Rav would say a Pshat. And I remember the first time it happened, I was shocked out of my wits. Rav Schechter turned around to me in the middle of Shir and said, he just answered the Rajba's Kasha. He didn't even mention the Rajba. Just said Pshat in the Gemara, but the way the Rav learned Pshat, it removed many times kashas, famous kashas were gone automatically. You didn't even understand what the big deal was. That's the Pshat in the Gemara. What's the big deal? So, but if you want, because you like to ask questions, I'll ask you a question. It's typical of the Rav. A person who said Bavi Melech and Sabra Sarah, what did he say? In other words, what did he say? That Sarah committed adultery, right? In other words, Yitzchak was a mamzer. In other words, we're all mamzerim. Because we're all products of Yitzhak and we're all Mamzerim. Would you call that guy Leitz? A cynic? A scoffer? I'd say the guy's a Rasha. Does that kasha bother you? I don't know. But that's what the Rabbi asked. said, the guy's not a late, he's a mean, rotten person. Secondly, why do people really assume Mi'avi Melech and Sabra Sar? Why do people really think that's true? And I'll tell you why it's true. How old was Ephraim?
100.
Pretty old to have a child. Couldn't be. A man 100 years old cannot have a child. So they said it can't be. You think that's really impossible? I haven't done this in the past few years, but a few years ago I did this on purpose. I looked up the Guinness Book of World Records to see what's the oldest man that we know that fathered a child, and what's the oldest woman that we know that mothered a child. So the oldest woman, I remember a few years ago, maybe now it's older, was 62 years old, something like that. And the oldest man was 80-something years old, I think it was Charlie Chaplin, who was something 80-something years old, and it was known to have fathered a child. Now, how old was Sarah when she gave birth? Anybody going to question that? They saw her pregnant. They saw her go to have a baby. So if a woman 90 years old can have a child, is it so strange to you that a man who was 100 had the child? Why do you have to assume Avimelech did it? Sarah did it. If Sarah did it, why couldn't Avram do it? So the Rav explained as follows. Nobody really thought Avimelech and Sabra Sarah. I'm going to reinterpret everything. Avram was born. Avram realized what we call monotheism, and he went to propagate his teaching around the world. Some people accepted. I assume most people rejected. The people that rejected said, look, there's this character Avram. He's an old man. He's an old guy. You know, in a few years, he's going to die. Baruch Hashem. They probably didn't say Baruch Hashem. But they said, you know, he has no children. What's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. Don't worry about him. We don't have to take him seriously. We don't have to take him too seriously. Avram as a child. He's going to teach everything to his son, and his son is going to continue, and who knows what's going to happen. So the Leitzanim say, don't worry about it. Me'avimelech nisabra sarah. That means this child is the child of Avimelech. What kind of a child of Avimelech he is? A spiritual child of Avimelech. Can you imagine, some of you might have problems. I know there's some fathers here, so I'm a little careful about what I'm saying. But some students here have fathers that are much older than they. And today, I know I have grandchildren. My grandchildren think that I'm mamish, so far removed from this world, that, Saba, you just don't understand. I don't know anything. Why? Because I'm 50 years older than my grandchild. That is true. I have one grandchild that's 50 years older than she is. So how can you understand anything? Your generation gap. Can you imagine if your father were to be 100 years old? When your bar mitzvah, he comes to your bar mitzvah at 113. You get married at 120. He's going to, if he's there, you'll dance with him in his wheelchair. Who is going to be the father of this child? Me'avimelech nisabra sarah. Don't worry about him. Late sonim. Then what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do what we call the miracle. Yitzchak becomes the spitting image of Avram. Where does Yitzchak become the spitting image of Avram? In this week's parasha, you'll pay attention. Avram dies. And what happens in Chumash when Avram dies? Right away, remember? Kol HaBe'erot, who's the Balkriya? Somebody's bar mitzvah parasha this week. You guys were never bar mitzvah. Nobody in this room was ever bar mitzvah. Because I've done this a few times. Nobody was ever bar mitzvah. Kol ha-be'erot asher chafru avdei aviv b'mei Avraham aviv. Remember that pasuk? What happens? Say the rest. Sitmum plishtim. Vayimalum afar. All the be'erot that were dug by Avram were closed. Now what does a be'er signify to you? Well. Well is water. Water is Torah. All the progress of Avram Avinu is covered up by the Plishtim. Nothing left. Avram is gone. Finished. So what does Yitzchak do? What would you do if your father's wells are no longer there? What would you do when you needed a well? You go find a well someplace. What does Yitzchak do?
I'm covered.
Vayashav Yitzchak, vayachpar es be'er samayim ashachafu avdi aviv b'mei Avram aviv. He redigs. He doesn't dig new. He redigs. And what are the name of these wells? Vayikra lam shemas kasha shemas ashakral maviv. Yitzchak's whole life is to be the image of Avraham Avinu. I don't have time, I won't go into it. Yitzchak's whole life is to be the image of Avraham Avinu. Take over for Avraham Avinu and show that his spirituality is going to continue. That's when the people stop scoffing. And what do they become now? A leitz was until now a leitz. He didn't take you seriously. But now he has to take you seriously. So what happens when he takes you seriously? Then he fights with you. What's the next word in Chumash? Vayikra lam shemas kashakar lam aviv. What's the next word? Vayarivu ro'ei gerar. They fought. They fought over the legacy. Who is really going to be the spiritual leader of our generation? Yitzchak through Avram, or Avram through Yitzchak, or Avdei Avimelech? The Rav said this once in a speech. I know it's late, but I have to tell you. The Rav told the speech, I think I mentioned this to you a few weeks ago. So that's why I can make it very quick. In 1948, Ben-Gurion said, I can exempt all the yeshiva guys you want from the army. I don't care, because how many guys were there? How many yeshiva guys want to learn Torah? How many? Ben-Gurion didn't take it seriously, because he's a leitz. A leitz toward the world of Torah. A few years later, there started a big fight in Israel about the exemption for yeshiva guys, because they realized there are a lot of guys. When Hesler was first started, I was a student in Cambria Avenue in 1960. That was the only Hesler yeshiva in the country. There were 100 students in the yeshiva. 100. Does anybody really know how many Hesler yeshivas there are in Israel today? Rav Gigi told me that there are 85. Some of them are big like this, some of them are very small. But when Hesler's yeshiva started, they didn't care. Big deal. How many guys are we talking about? And now today, it's an interesting thing to hear the battles the Hesler guys are going through in the army. What's happening now with the religious climate in the army is really interesting. So the Rav said, I'm going to stop. The Rav said at one point, you know, I'm really happy that Baruch Hashem, they don't laugh at us anymore. They take us seriously. Maybe that means a fight. Maybe it's a Kulturkampf. But I'd rather have the Kulturkampf than just being ignored and saying, you don't count. So all this is pshat. Be'elah told us this about Avram. Avram Lidish Yitzchak. Goodbye. You have 30 seconds. Mr. Sokol. Mazel tov.